The news from Lake Wobegon is brought to you by Fiber One Honey Cluster Cereal. With a touch of sweet honey and brown sugar, each serving has more than half of the daily value of fiber. Fiber One. Cardboard no, delicious yes.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm and humid out there, and we had a big storm here the other day with a big wind that blew white lily flowers all over our town. Sort of mysterious, blew the cicadas away as well. And it blew the roof off the barn where the Sons of Canute were storing the fireworks for the 4th of July. So just went out with a fizzle and a whimper, and no big explosions whatsoever. People were hoping for better. It's been warm, so there are a lot of bugs, big clouds of bugs on the gathered around the garage light and parked up against the screen on the porch, and all these interesting bugs, mosquitoes, clouds of them. You want to be careful coming in and out of your house, because people in Lake Wobegon know that one mosquito can really drive you crazy, one mosquito in your bedroom late at night. There are bedrooms in Lake Wobegon, two of them that I can think of, where there are big holes in the ceiling caused by people trying to deal with a mosquito with a shotgun. And you might too. There was one in the night there singing to you. And mosquitoes carry this strange virus that we don't really understand. The virus has many effects, but one effect is regret, profound regret. People sitting on a porch and they should be happy, and they're holding a big glass of green nectar in their hand, and they are listening to the water sprinkler throw big drops up in the hydrangeas, and the dog is sitting there on the porch and its tail is thumping against the floor, and they should be happy, and their friends are calling to them from out in the yard, but they are thinking back to that year when they could have gone to California and they did not, back in 1978. And they're thinking of how their lives might be different. And for one thing, they would be on Pacific time, so they would have 2 additional hours instead of the 2 hours that they have just wasted now, regretting not having gone out to California back then. You want to stay away from mosquitoes. You want to beware of them. They can cause you all sorts of trouble. Young people are playing all day and going to bed late at night. They get up in the morning and they eat breakfast in the middle of the morning, and they hang out with their friends and they telephone back and forth, and they go down swimming and they hang out on the beach, and they come back and they wander around and they lie in the grass and they read books, and they come in for supper, and then they go out in the evening and hang out some more and come home about 10 o'clock. You are exhausted just thinking about them, but they are wandering, and they're still late at night. They come in around curfew at 10 o'clock, and they go upstairs, and they start telephoning in earnest, back and forth, sort of working their friendships like shuffling a deck of cards. And they're working. You lie awake worrying about them, wondering if they're going to go out for the night and what you should do then. And then they go take a shower for about 30, 45 minutes. And you lie and listen to that, and you think about all the water that's going down the drain, and are they going to get up, and are they going to call China just so they can talk to somebody in the middle of the night? And finally, they're quiet and they're asleep, and now you hear the mosquito that is circling, circling over you. It's been a big week in Lake Wobegon. Pastor Liz has settled down in the parsonage, and everybody was wondering how that was going to turn out. Well, it hasn't turned out yet, but so far she seems to be a permanent attraction. She came into the parsonage. It was sort of empty because the Inkvists had moved out back in March, and they'd taken all their furniture with them. And then Pastor Barbara Hamm, the interim pastor, was on the verge of redecorating, and she was just about to do that when she got the call to go take care of her father, who had fallen out of the apple tree in South Dakota. And he had hit his head on the ground. And for a while, he thought he was George Armstrong Custer. And His wife was an Ojibwe chief. And now he thinks that he's Lewis and he's looking for Clark. And so she called in to say that she's going to be there for a while. And so Pastor Liz seems to have moved into the parsonage for good. Clint Bunsen, the chairman of the search committee, came to tell her about this last week. He said, we've decided that you're more or less permanent. Since Pastor Ham can't come back, we've discontinued our search for a new pastor. As far as we're concerned, you're it. Well, she said, how does the synod feel about that? Oh, he said, the synod hasn't paid much attention to us in the past 75 years. Said, I have no idea even what brand of Lutheran we are exactly. I couldn't tell you we're ELCA or LCA or ACLU or what it is. We're just not sure, Wisconsin Synod or Missouri or something yet unknown. It's just a mystery. So we'll just wait until we get into trouble with them before we need to do anything about it. However, he said, I do have to tell you that I am concerned. He said, you remember that first day that you arrived in Lake Wobegon? You came in, you'd been sleeping out in the woods somewhere. I didn't want to ask you questions about it. But then you went down to the lake and you were bathing there in the lake. You took your clothes off and you were bathing. And that was me in the rowboat. I saw you. She said, is that disturbing to you? Well, I don't know, he said, but I just don't think you should make a practice of it. Well, she said, I've got a shower and tub here. I'm grateful for them, so I don't see the need. But she said, I think you ought to know that I don't have the shame, the sense of shame that maybe you think a pastor ought to have. I just don't. It goes back to when I was 8 years old, and my daddy took me to hear a choir concert, and it was the Collegium Musicum of Stuttgart. Helmut Rehling was conducting, and the auditorium was packed with people, and we sat in about the 18th row in the middle, and it was Bach's Mass in B minor. And it just overwhelmed me from the very beginning, all those powerful and delicate voices. It just was like the Christian faith come to life there in front of us, mysterious and powerful. And it wasn't until an hour and a half into it that I realized that I had to pee really, really badly. And I knew that you weren't supposed to make a commotion at a concert, especially a sacred concert. And there we were in the middle of the row, and they were singing this quiet part, the Benedictus. And I didn't want to tell my father, and I just didn't want to disrupt this. They were singing the Benedictus, and I just let it go. It just all came out of me. As the choir was singing the blessing of God, I peed in my pants. And I should have felt ashamed, but I didn't. I didn't. And this has just stayed with me from now on. Well, he promised not to tell a single soul. And now I've gone and violated his promise. It was an interesting week in Lake Wobegon. Our fishing dog, Bruno, disappeared. Lena took him in because he had developed a taste for semi-decomposed fish. He'd been eating fish that had washed up on the shore a long time ago, and he'd become a hazard to others and a nuisance. He was wandering around when people were having their picnics outdoors, and they'd have to yell at him and make him go away. So she took him in, and she brushed his teeth, and she flossed him, and she rinsed him out with Listerine, and she bathed him. This is an outdoor dog. He was miserable inside. He just stood looking out at the window, looking at people outside. Couldn't bear the thought of being shut up. There were birds that were flying, birds flying into the window. He was attracted to each and every one of them. Nobody knows why they do it this time of year. Maybe it's because the sun is high, and so they can't see the reflection, and they think they're flying into a cool, cool, dim place out in the forest, and then bang, the lights go out. Well, Lena's frugal person, and she went out and she collected them when they hit the window, and she brought them in and she defeathered them. And so she's been discovering the taste of chickadees in a chickadee stew. Well, She might wish for grouse, but she'll do with chickadees. It's very tasty. She puts a little fennel in, a little garlic, and some sage and some rosemary, and it's pretty good. Well, this dog was suffering and moaning and moaning and moaning and making a nuisance of himself. And she loves him, but she also thought about shooting him, which is how she felt about her husband, Torvald, as well. She loved him, but when he went off on a bender and he came home staggering drunk, he didn't pass out the way a drunk should. He would sit at the table and weep and apologize and say he was going to quit from now on, and he was a bad person, and he was never, ever going to do it again. And over the years, the remorse became worse than the offense. She almost shot him one summer evening when he came in drunk, and then she thought, well, no, the pastor's on vacation next week, and he'd have to cancel his vacation in order to conduct the funeral. So she held off, and Torvald lived for another 6 months until that winter. He got so depressed one night, he walked away from the house weeping, and she didn't go to get him. And he froze to death because it was January, so it was a natural thing. And there are worse ways to go, goodness knows. And it was a beautiful funeral. People were able to stand up and say all the wonderful things about Torvald that they had been saving up for the end of his life. Well, she was on the verge of shooting her dog, Bruno, and she decided to go talk to Pastor Liz about it down at the parsonage. And she walked down there, and she carried with her a little pot of chickadee stew. She took it into the pastor, and music was playing. It was a beautiful, beautiful choir music. The pastor was sitting, listening to it. Lena put some of the chickadee stew into a bowl. Pastor Liz said, "What is that?" Lena had read a magazine article that said that honesty is the best basis for a continuing relationship. So she said, "Pigeons." It wasn't the truth, but it was close enough. Nobody would want to knowingly eat chickadees, and yet they are tasty. So why let them go to waste? She was going to ask about the dog and what to do with him. And then she heard this beautiful music, and it just seemed to answer that question without her having to think about it. She asked, "What is that?" Well, it was the Mass in B minor, of course. It was the old Mass in B minor. It was the Benedictus. It was the blessing. I cannot sing the old songs I sang long years ago, for heart and voice would fail me and foolish tears would flow. For bygone hours come o'er my heart with each familiar strain. I cannot sing the old songs or dream those dreams again. Tell me the tales that to me were so dear long, long ago, long, long ago. Sing me the songs I delighted to hear long, long ago, long ago. Sing the old songs, their charm is sad and deep. Their melodies would waken old sorrows from their sleep. And though all unforgotten still and sadly sweet they be, I cannot sing
the old songs, they are too dear to me. Just a song at twilight when the lights are low and the flickering shadows softly come and go. Though the heart be weary, sad the day and long, still to us at twilight comes love's old song, comes love's old sweet song. I cannot sing the old songs, for visions come again of golden dreams departed and years of weary pain. Perhaps when earthly fetters shall have set my spirit free, my voice may know the old songs for all eternity.